Hello, I'm Stephen Mansfield. Welcome to Derek Prince Legacy Radio.
Derek Prince Legacy Radio, a broadcast outreach of Derek Prince Ministries, bringing you the very best from the vast teaching archive of author and Bible teacher Derek Prince. Your guide to the Derek Prince legacy is New York Times best-selling author and speaker, Stephen Mansfield.
Hello, and welcome to Derek Prince Legacy Radio. I'm Stephen Mansfield. Great to have you with us on this Monday edition of our show. We're starting a whole new series today called Steps to Revival. Now, if you haven't been with us for the last couple of weeks, we were in a series on hope that Derek taught out of the deep experience of his own life. It was a wonderful time. And if you missed any of that, you can log on to our website at derekprince.org, and you'll find all of those teachings as well as other material information and just wonderful things about what Derek Prince Ministries is doing today. But today we're starting this new series on Steps to Revival. And Derek had profound experience with revival. He not only had personal revival in his own life, but he led a revival-oriented church in London after World War II, and then came to the United States just as the 1960s were sort of cranking up, and many of the tragedies and difficult events of the 60s, the whole rise of the counterculture, was happening in the United States in the 1960s. And Derek essentially brought, or at least was part of, giving birth to revival here in the United States. And it was a very, very powerful time. Now, let's just for a moment define what revival is. Reviving something is when you make it alive again, is when you bring life to it. And that's what we're going to be learning about today as Derek teaches us about revival. So get something to write with, get your Bible, take some notes, and let's listen now as Derek Prince teaches us on steps to revival.
I came to know the Lord Jesus on the last Thursday night in July 1941 in an army barrack room in the middle of the night. I had a dramatic personal encounter with Jesus Christ, which totally and permanently changed my life. I am not perfect, but I am different from what I was before I met Jesus. 12 years later, in 1953, when I was pastoring a small assembly in Bayswater in London, about 2 a.m. one night, the Lord woke me up and spoke to me audibly, the only time in my life that I've actually heard God speak to me. And I have never forgotten one word that he spoke at that time. I will quote a little of it, but not all of it. There was no preamble, no introduction, no explanation. He simply said this: "There shall be a great revival in the United States and Great Britain." Then he told me something about my personal ministry, which I will not quote. And he ended with these words: "But the condition is obedience in small things and in great things, for the small things are as great as the great things." I have never doubted God spoke those words to me, and 40 years have now passed, and I was reminded in the prayer room before we came in of Caleb, and I told the brother who reminded me it was unusually appropriate, because Caleb said, 40 years have passed, but I intend to go in to the inheritance. And that's my intention too. Now, I believe God is going to send a great revival. He's not going to revive the whole of Britain, but he's going to revive the church in Britain. And that will impact the whole nation. It's easy to prophesy revival. I've heard one or two prophecies given that really were self-defeating. Because just to say there is revival, or there will be revival, tends to leave people feeling, well, I don't have to do much about it. But that's not true. I believe there will be revival when God's people meet his conditions. It's not an unconditional promise. And in the messages that I hope to bring to you this week, I propose to deal with 7 issues that we have to face if we really expect a revival. Since about 1991, God spoke to Ruth and me and said, "I don't want you to go anywhere except when I send you." Before that, we would accept invitations and go. We were always prayerful. But God has limited us now to going only where He sends us. And I believe He has sent us here.
Praise the Lord.
So tonight I'm going to deal with the first of what I call the seven issues. I want to turn to start with to Romans chapter 8, verses 3 and 4. Romans 8, verses 3 and 4. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh on account of sin. He condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. As I understand that, what Paul is saying is God has never expected us to achieve righteousness by keeping the law of Moses. The law of Moses was perfect. It was God-given. The fault is not in the law. The fault is in us. But because we could not achieve righteousness by keeping the law, God provided an alternative way through the substitutionary sacrifice of Jesus on the cross. Jesus Himself was the only Jew, I believe, who ever perfectly kept the law of Moses. And ultimately, He gave His life as an atonement for the sins of all those who had broken the law, and also for the sins of those who had never been under the law. So we are not required to achieve righteousness by obeying the law of Moses. Can you say thank God? Because the law of Moses was pretty tough. And yet God said it's perfectly possible to do it, but none of us did. So what is the alternative? This is the issue that I want to raise tonight. What is the alternative? If we're not required to keep the law of Moses, how can we achieve righteousness with God? The theme of Romans is righteousness. In Job chapter 9, verse 3, Job asked a question out of his perplexity and misery. How can a man be righteous before God? And Job's friends, if you can call them friends, ridiculed the idea that anybody could ever be righteous with God. But many hundreds of years later, God gave His answer. How can a man be righteous with God? And the answer is found in the Epistle to the Romans. The righteousness of God, which is revealed by faith through faith, is described and fully unfolded in the Epistle to the Romans.
Derek's teaching on revival helps to solve a tension that has existed throughout church history. Is revival something that just comes sovereignly as God wills without any warning? Or is revival something that you can schedule on a Sunday night between 6 and 8 o'clock at a church? We've all seen those advertisements for revivals on church signs. Derek says that revival comes when we meet the conditions, and so we do have something, a role to play in bringing revival to our lives, to our churches, to our communities. We'll be back. There's so much more to come as Derek Prince, Legacy Radio, continues.
What stands between you and your God-given dreams? What hinders you from walking out God's purpose for your life? The world constantly distracts us, taking our focus off of the things of God. But no distraction is greater than God's desire to restore us to a place of peace and purpose. In his classic book, The Doorway to Restoration, Derek Prince dissipates the distractions to reveal God's wonderful doorway to a powerful, purpose-filled life. To order your copy of The Doorway to Restoration for only $9.95, call toll-free 1-800-448-3261. That's 1-800-448-3261. In Canada, call 888-737-0771. You can walk through God's doorway to restoration. 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. Or order securely when you visit us online at derekprince.org.
Welcome back to Derek Prince, Legacy Radio. I'm Stephen Mansfield, and we are in a series by Derek Prince. We've just started it, so if you're just joining us, you haven't missed a thing, called Steps to Revival. If you want to hear this teaching again and again, as I know we often do, you can log on to our website at derekprince.org. Now, I want you to listen in this next portion of the teaching to the prophetic word that God gave to Derek about how revival would come to the United States and Great Britain and his role in it. Let's listen as Derek teaches us steps to revival.
So God says you're not required to observe the law. But Paul says that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. We are not required to observe the law, but we are required to fulfill the righteous requirement of the law. Now that word in Greek is dikaioma. The Greek word for righteousness is dikaiosune. So dikaiosune, righteousness, is a kind of general concept. Dikaioma is a specific outworking of it. The same word is translated or used in Revelation 19 when it says the fine linen of the saints is the righteous acts of the saints. So the word we're talking about is righteousness in action, righteousness worked out, righteousness made practical. And this we are required to observe. Let me read those words again. For what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh on account of sin. He condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. That raises a question of vital importance for every Christian, which is, what is the righteous requirement of the law? What is it that we are required to fulfill? We're not required to keep the law of Moses, but we are required to keep the righteous requirement of the law. And the theme of my message is simply the answer to the question, what is the righteous requirement of the law? And I am simple-minded enough to believe that it can be answered in one word of four letters. How many of you know the word? Love, that's right. Love is the righteous requirement of the law. Now, we are expected to observe that. We are not required to keep the entire law of Moses, but we are required to observe the righteous requirement of the law. Let me give you just a number of scriptures that confirm what I've said. We'll turn, first of all, to Matthew chapter 22, verses 35 and following. This is a conversation between Jesus and a teacher of the law of Moses. Then one of them, a lawyer or a teacher of the law, asked Jesus a question, testing him and saying, "Teacher, which is the great commandment in the law?" Jesus said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like it, you shall love your neighbor as yourself." Notice Jesus did not hedge. He did not compromise. He was absolutely clear. The two great commandments are love the Lord your God and love your neighbor as yourself. And then he went on to say, on these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. The law and the prophets represent what we today call the Old Testament. So suppose that I wanted to take my jacket off, which I don't, and I wanted to hang it up on a peg somewhere. One simple fact stands out. The peg would have to be there before I could hang my jacket on it. And Jesus said, all the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. So the primary commandments that were there before the law and the prophets are the commandments to love God and love our neighbor as ourselves. And then in Romans chapter 13, verses 8 through 10, Paul writes this, "Owe no one anything." I'm not going to quite preach on that, but it's rather a demanding statement, is it? Owe no one anything. Don't be in debt. "Owe no one anything except to love one another. For he who loves another has fulfilled the law. For the commandments, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness, you shall not covet. And if there is any other commandment, are all summed up in this saying, namely, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no harm to a neighbor, therefore love is the fulfillment of the law." Love is the righteous requirement of the law. And then one further scripture, and we could choose many others. But in Galatians chapter 5 and verse 14, Paul says, "For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this: you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Notice, the whole law is fulfilled in one word. And what is the word? I didn't hear you.
Love.
Say it again.
Love.
That's better. Now, in John chapter 13, Jesus, I would say, related his teaching to what had gone before, to the law of Moses and the Old Testament. And in John 13, verses 34 and 35, Jesus said to his disciples, "A new commandment I give you." Moses had given them 10 commandments plus a whole set of regulations. Contemporary Judaism has 613 commandments, if you want to know. Jesus said, "I'll only give you one commandment. That's all. If you fulfill this, that's all I ask. A new commandment I give you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another." What is the commandment? To love one another the way Jesus has loved us. And then he goes on to say, "By this all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another."
You know, it's almost unfair that Derek teaches us that one of the sort of conditions or requirements or things that we must do to see revival is to walk in love. But we had to know that. Love is, as Derek taught us, righteousness in action. Righteousness worked out. Righteousness made practical. There's so much more to come as Derek Prince, Legacy Radio, continues.
Most believers know that fasting is beneficial and can make fresh spiritual power available in times of need, but very few know why. Here's good news. Derek Prince, widely known for his deep insights on the power and practice of fasting, reveals those insights in his powerful little book, How to Fast Successfully. Inside, you'll discover the spiritual truths behind the why, when, and how of fasting, and you'll find practical instruction for releasing the power of fasting in your own life. Call now to receive your copy of How to Fast Successfully, absolutely free. 1-800-448-3261. That's 1-800-448-3261. In Canada, call 888-737-0771. The call and the book are both free. Through fasting, you'll hear God's voice more clearly, be more effective in prayer, and see breakthroughs in hard-to-overcome habits. Call now to get your free copy of How to Fast Successfully. 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. Or order securely when you visit us online at derekprince.org.
Welcome back to Derek Prince, Legacy Radio. I'm Stephen Mansfield. Let's listen as Derek teaches us steps to revival.
And then I'd like to turn to one of my favorite scriptures, which isn't often quoted, in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verses 5 through 6. "Now the purpose of the commandment is love, from a pure heart, from a good conscience, and from sincere faith, from which some, having strayed, have turned aside to idle talk." So Paul says, the commandment, whether you take it's the law of Moses or whether you think it's the one commandment Jesus gave, the purpose of the commandment is summed up in one word: love. And then three conditions are given for having that kind of love: a pure heart, a good conscience, and sincere faith. I like the New American Standard version of that verse, which says, "The goal of our instruction is love." And when I first read that, it caused me to pause and think. I've been a preacher for goodness knows how long, 50 years probably at least. And I asked myself, what has been the goal of my instruction? What have I aimed to produce in the people that listen to me? And I had to say, if it has been love, I have often failed. To those of you who are preachers, teachers, Sunday school teachers, or whatever you are that in some way has an active ministry, I want to ask you this question. What is the goal of your instruction? What is it that you are aiming to produce in the people who listen to you? If you're a pastor, what are you aiming to produce in your church? Because if you are not aiming to produce love, Paul says, everything else is idle talk or vain discussion, the NASB says. That's a very searching thought.
Yeah.
I suggest to you that a great deal of contemporary Christian activity is misdirected because it is not aimed at producing the one thing that has to be our objective. And if it is aimed, frequently it's missing the mark. If you were to talk to the people who are not Christians in this country and say, what is the attitude of people who call themselves Christians to one another? Very few people would answer love. Very few. The unsaved in many ways are more observant than the saved. We get so used to a kind of religious procedure that we call Christianity that we take it for granted. This must be the right thing. This is the way everything is done. This is the way people do it. How could we do it differently? But I want to say to you, and I say it first and foremost to myself as a preacher, if I am not producing love in the people who listen to my teaching, hear my tapes, read my books, whatever it may be, it's all idle talk. It's vain discussion. It's empty words. It's wasted time. I think it's a shocking consideration how much time is wasted in churches, because it doesn't produce the one thing that is required of us. The righteous requirement of the law, summed up in one word, love.
I want to take us back just for a moment to the prophecy that Derek received from the Lord. The Lord said to Derek, there shall be a great revival in the United States and Great Britain, and there certainly has been. In fact, particularly the last part of the 20th century in America has been called the century of the Holy Spirit. Unbelievable revivals in the United States particularly, and then also in Britain. But then the Lord said, but the condition is obedience in small things and in great things, for the small things are as the great. Now, this is what I love about the Lord, is that he promises huge things, and then he tells us exactly what he requires of us. And when we really examine what those requirements are, they're what was in the Bible to begin with. We all know that God is love. We all know that God calls us to love. And therefore, Derek is presenting this beautiful teaching on revival. But in this very first teaching, this very first section, he's talking to us about love and the fact that love is not only a condition of revival, but it is what is the primary evidence of the Christian life. I think this is so powerful, because often we pursue revival for its own sake. We pursue spiritual renewals. In the last decades in America, we've had people just traveling from all over the world to go to some of the spiritual watering holes in the United States as various churches have experienced revival. My question always is, are people changed? Are they living differently for having experienced this revival? Have they been repenting and preparing their hearts for a fresh work of the Holy Spirit? Derek's emphasis on love brings us to that conclusion. Derek's emphasis on love helps us understand that God is calling for his people to walk in the love that is shed abroad in their hearts by the Holy Spirit and that is produced by knowing Jesus. I mean, we have to return to the reality that if someone truly knows Jesus, the primary evidence of that is love. And yet all of us know people in the ministry, in churches, who are just about as unloving as anybody who's unsaved. It's time for that to stop. Listen, if you want to hear this tape again and really burn these truths into your heart, you can log on to derekprince.org. You'll find this and other teachings, and you can review them as often as you want. Well, listen, that's all the time we have for today. For everyone at Derek Prince Ministries, I'm Stephen Mansfield. Join us again tomorrow on Tuesday as the legacy continues.
To order your own copy of Derek's classic book, Doorway to Restoration, for only $9.95, give us a call toll-free, 1-800-448-3261. That's 1-800-448-3261. Or in Canada, call 888-737-0771. And don't forget to ask about your free copy of How to Fast Successfully. It's our gift to you. Call 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. Or in Canada, call 888-737-0771. And of course, you can order securely online at derekprince.org. Derek Prince Legacy Radio is a broadcast outreach of Derek Prince Ministries and produced in association with Audio Aviators. For more information about anything heard on today's program, visit us on the web at derekprince.org. That's derekprince.org.